Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Philip D. Strafin's Game Theory and Strategy is an introductory mathematics text in the New Mathematical Library series, written for readers who want access to game theory without advanced prerequisites. The book presents game theory as the mathematical study of conflict and cooperation, covering situations in which the outcome for each participant depends on the choices of others. Its genre is both mathematical exposition and applied modeling, since it develops formal ideas while repeatedly connecting them to economics, politics, business, voting, bargaining, and social interaction. Strafin assumes only high school algebra, but he uses that accessible base to introduce structured reasoning, equilibrium analysis, coalition thinking, and axiomatic approaches to fairness. The purpose is not merely to teach a list of techniques. It is to show how mathematical models can clarify strategic situations, reveal hidden assumptions, and compare alternative notions of rational or fair behavior in real problems. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, two-person strategic games and the logic of rational choice. A central starting point of the book is the analysis of two-person games in which each player chooses from a defined set of strategies and receives a payoff depending on the combined choices. This framework is important because it converts conflict into a mathematical object that can be inspected rather than merely described. Strafin introduces ideas such as payoff matrices, dominant strategies, expected payoffs, and strategic comparison in a way that requires only algebra but encourages precise reasoning. The reader learns that rational choice is not simply a matter of selecting the option with the largest visible reward, because the best action often depends on what the other participant is likely to do. This is where the book demonstrates the distinctive value of game theory. It separates individual preferences from strategic interdependence and shows how outcomes can be unstable, inefficient, or counterintuitive even when all players reason carefully. By grounding the discussion in small formal examples, the book makes clear why strategic models are useful in negotiations, competition, deterrence, and everyday decision problems. Secondly, mixed strategies, min-max reasoning, and uncertainty and competition. Strafin gives substantial attention to situations where a player should not always choose the same pure strategy. Mixed strategies, in which a player randomizes among options according to assigned probabilities, are one of the book's most important technical ideas. They show that uncertainty can be deliberately created rather than merely endured. In strictly competitive settings, min-max reasoning identifies strategies that protect a player against the worst outcome an opponent can force. This approach reflects the historical foundation of game theory in zero-sum games and demonstrates why probability is essential even in problems that are not primarily about chance. The book's algebraic treatment makes the concept approachable while preserving its logical force. A mixed strategy is not presented as psychological indecision, but as a disciplined method for preventing exploitation by a strategic opponent. This topic also reveals a broader theme of the book: mathematical models do not eliminate uncertainty, but they can define what it means to act coherently under uncertainty. That lesson is useful far beyond games of direct opposition. Thirdly, Nash equilibrium and the limits of individually rational behavior. The book introduces equilibrium thinking as a way to analyze games where each participant's decision must be evaluated in relation to the decisions of others. Nash equilibrium is especially significant because it describes a condition in which no player can improve by changing strategy alone, given the strategies chosen by everyone else. Strafin's treatment helps readers see why equilibrium is not the same as social optimality or moral desirability. A stable strategic outcome can still be inefficient, unequal, or collectively disappointing. This distinction is one of the central intellectual contributions of game theory, and the book makes it accessible through formal examples rather than abstract assertion. Equilibrium analysis also clarifies the difference between prediction and recommendation. A model may predict that rational players settle into an outcome, while also showing that another outcome would make everyone better off if coordination or trust were possible. By emphasizing this tension, the book prepares readers to understand dilemmas in economics, politics, and social behavior where self-interested reasoning produces results that no participant would have chosen in isolation. Fourthly, coalitions, power indices, and cooperative game theory. Beyond two-person competition, game theory and strategy examines games involving coalitions, where groups of players may combine their resources or voting strength. This shift is important because many real strategic settings are not simple contests between two isolated decision makers. Legislatures, committees, alliances, firms, and political blocs often function through coalition formation. Strafin introduces cooperative game theory through tools such as characteristic functions, coalition values, and allocation problems. showing how mathematics can represent the bargaining possibilities available to groups. The discussion of power is especially notable because voting strength is not always proportional to the number of votes a player controls. Indices such as the Banchaff Power Index help measure the ability of a participant to change an outcome by being pivotal. This gives readers a more refined understanding of institutional power than ordinary vote counts provide. The topic also illustrates the book's applied orientation formal models can expose surprising structures in collective decision-making, including cases where small players matter greatly or large players have less effective influence than expected. Lastly, axiomatic fairness, bargaining solutions, and mathematical modeling. A distinctive feature of Straffen's presentation is the use of axioms to examine fairness and bargaining. Rather than treating fairness as a vague moral intuition, the book shows how one can propose formal conditions that a fair allocation should satisfy, then study which solution follows from those conditions. This introduces readers to axiomatic mathematical thinking in an applied setting. Bargaining problems, arbitration schemes, and division problems become opportunities to ask precise questions. Should equal treatment matter? Should irrelevant alternatives affect the result? Should efficiency be required? And how should disagreement points influence an agreement? The value of this approach is not that it produces a single unquestionable answer. Its value is that it makes assumptions visible. Different axioms may lead to different solutions, and that fact teaches readers to inspect the ethical and practical commitments built into a model. This section of the book stands out because it bridges pure mathematical structure with real disputes over allocation, compensation, and negotiation, making clear that formal reasoning can sharpen rather than replace judgment. In conclusion, Game Theory and Strategy is best suited for students, teachers, and intellectually curious readers who want a rigorous but accessible entry into game theory. It is also useful for professionals in economics, political science, business, public policy, or law who need conceptual fluency rather than a graduate-level technical treatment. Readers gain practical benefits by learning how to identify strategic interdependence, compare choices under uncertainty, interpret equilibrium, evaluate coalition power, and think carefully about fairness in bargaining. Its intellectual benefit is equally important. The book trains readers to translate messy social situations into explicit models while remaining aware that every model depends on assumptions. Compared with many introductory books, Straffen's text stands out for its balance. It is mathematical without being forbidding, applied without becoming anecdotal, and concise without reducing the subject to slogans. The new mathematical library setting also gives it a pedagogical character that differs from economics textbooks, which often assume more disciplinary background, and from popular treatments, which often avoid formal reasoning. Its distinctive strength is the way it uses elementary algebra to lead readers toward sophisticated ideas in strategy, cooperation, voting power, and axiomatic fairness. If you would like to support Philip D. Straffen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.